Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Redmen TV. It is episode number 2 of this iteration, Redmen Radio. For those of you listening to this show, I'm joined by Steve Hall, by Ross Chanley and by John Reed for this one. And today's kickoff question comes from at Tom Reed at 92. It's Alonso, Mascherano and Gerrard, or Fabinho, Henderson and Gini? Is it really a question, Ross?
Not really. I think Alonso, Mascherano, Gerrard, you've got the fact they've got the experience and years behind them together.
Are they not a touch old for the Premier League?
They'll be fine. I mean, Gerrard's showing in the Legends game of the week. He's still got it. Yeah, but you can probably make a case for Fabinho, Henderson, Gini in 2-3 years' time once they've played together for a longer period. But, I mean, there's a song about those three for a reason.
Yeah. I'm not even sure Fabinho Henderson Gini is our best midfield anyway to compare to, but I think you're comparing three world-class players to, you know, two lads who have had a good career and one lad who's potentially, you know, Fabinho could become world-class, but he's not done it. Those three are genuine stars.
So. It's great to know that they agree with you as well. I mean, yeah. They were literally cheering your answer then, Steve.
Toffee TV having a right all time. Yeah. did they get a corner?
I think they really rate Fabinho, Henderson and Gini. I think it was when you said, you know, in 2-3 years' time, and then they were like, yeah!
I think they're watching a video of a 0-0. Delighted. I think it's an absolute no-brainer, isn't it? I mean, we had the best midfield in the world. What I would say is that best midfield in the world didn't actually win anything. And this other three hopefully could do it. If it does a European Cup Premier League double that like we all hope it does, then I don't know if that changes people's minds.
Do we just look back too fondly at teams? Is that the issue?
I don't know because... Listen,
they were great.
Individually, we were good. We were a good team. We did well, didn't we? We had a title challenge. We did okay in Europe. We went quite far, but... I don't know. You're comparing Alonso to Fabinho, you take Alonso, you compare Mascherano to Henderson, you take Mascherano and Gerrard to Gini. He's an absolute no-brainer. But what's interesting is, like I say, those three could win two major honours this year with that midfield there. Obviously, two of them were in Istanbul, but as a collective, they didn't actually do anything.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think if you're just taking that as is, then you're definitely going Alonso, Mascherano, Gerrard. I think if you... starting to put parameters on it, then it's a bit different. So if you're saying, you know, in today's game, I know obviously they're retired, but if you're saying the current Premier League, you know, you can start asking questions, I think, around Alonso, maybe kind of like getting around the pitch. But yeah, I think looking at it, I think Fabinho, Henderson and Gini, it's a bit early.
For me, it's just so easy. It's all day Alonso, Mascherano and Gerrard. And the reason that I picked the question wasn't because it was difficult, because I like talking about Alonso, Mascherano and Gerrard, because they're great players. But we'll go on to Liverpool news then in brief. Liverpool want £15 million for Nathaniel Klein. West Ham and Bournemouth are interested in him, John. And you're looking at it and you're thinking, is this another one of the Liverpool where they're just so canny in the transfer market now when we're selling players?
I think it is, yeah. I mean, I think it's a good price, I think, for someone who's, all right, not been in an England team recently, but he's ex-England international, still in an England international, can still be picked and stuff. And, you know, he's clearly, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to feature in our future plans, whether that's because, as most people say, he doesn't seem to get forward as much or not. But, you know, for him to go to a team like West Ham or Bournemouth, I think it's a good move for him, to be honest. He's going to start week in, week out, and the club were getting most of what they paid back for him. I think was it 12 maybe paid?
12 and a half maybe, something like that, yeah. I hypothesised yesterday on your show, actually, on the Reds News Roundup, which you weren't part of, because we've promoted you because you've been that damn good for so long that you're getting on the main podcast now. I'm Paul Sick.
That's fine. I'll take
we were
it.
Genuinely going to use you anyway.
That's fine.
It was Ross. We were going to fuck off if Paul was here.
That's fine.
I'm sorry, Ross. He's not even no, asked. Not. I'm not, so you're right, I'm not sorry. I take my apology back. It got awkward pretty quick, didn't it? Well, we're in 3 minutes into the show. I've pissed off one person at least. I'll probably piss the rest of these off at some point during the show. Tom started pissed off. So that we don't
you can
need
continue,
to worry about
continue
him.
Your hypothesis.
My hypothesis was thus.
I'm in.
Or maybe thusly. Nathaniel Klein was a modern fullback, and we've actually moved past that with Senton and Robbo. I think we're on modern fullback 2.0 now, and Nathaniel Klein will be a great fullback for 14 teams in this league, and he's not a good fullback for six.
Yeah, but if you're a defence first team, which okay, 14 teams, maybe 15 teams are, you know, if you include some, well, Man United might change now, but Klein's a really good player for a lot of these teams, and 15 million's a good price. A good Premier League player now goes for 20, 30 million. You know, £15 million is your new £5 million player, isn't it? It's just a the way, you know, everyone's got money, and we've seen that with Bournemouth in the past. They've give us loads. So I think 15 for either team would be a bargain. They both need the right back. Obviously Zabaleta's leaving West Ham probably, and then Klein's at Bournemouth and he's been doing well. I think Liverpool are, well, I think 15's even a little bit cheap. Obviously he wants to, I get it, and him as a player, like you mentioned, he'd be fine for us. He'd be a good defensive player. It's the our wing backs or full backs rather are our most creative players. They're asked to.
I think you were right when you said wing backs.
Yeah, well, they are, and that's why I said it. They almost play as wing backs, and Klein, that's not Klein's game. Klein was defensive first. He got forward at pace, and he did, but he doesn't cross like Trent crosses, or he doesn't play those intricate 1-2s like Trent did. You know, I don't see Nathaniel Klein making that run that Trent makes for Porto for the goal. I just don't see him doing it. So. He's a good player, he just isn't a good Liverpool player. And we've sold a few of them, you know, there's a few, and we're getting good at this. Of
ripping off Bournemouth.
To an extent, yeah, to an extent we have, but then, you know, that's more because that's the players they bought. That was their fault, they bought Brad Smith. We all knew what Brad Smith was, he was a reserve lad, you know what I mean? We'll see what Solanke is. Jordan Ibe is what Jordan Ibe was, good but inconsistent. Klein's the model of consistency. I always think with fullbacks, in most teams, you want to just put them in and forget about them. Because
what we did when the client came into our side, isn't
put him
it?
In, forget it. And Steve Finnan was the same. Put him in, do his job, fine. I think most managers think, I've got enough headaches. I can't be arsed. Winning about my right back and my left back, just put them in. He'd be good for both of those, and he'd be good for, like I say, most teams in the league should want to buy Nathaniel Klein. He's a good player.
Yeah, I agree with that. We'll move on then. Next piece of news. Liverpool have bid, in inverted commas, £40 million for Thorgan Hazard. So there was rumours, Ross, that Dortmund are interested in him. I think they came off the back of Manchester United being interested in Jadon Sancho. And then now Liverpool have been linked with Hazard as well as Borussia Dortmund. And, you know, he's a player who is clearly a very good player. Would worry, I think, about game time if he was coming to Liverpool. But do you see that there's any truth in this first and foremost?
No, there's been a lot. We obviously talked on Steve's show, and we did the same yesterday. You know, there's a gap in Liverpool's team, and there's someone who's looking to move away, and it's just like position, name a player, insert team, and it seems kind of going on. He's been mentioned quite a few times. I think Liverpool are looking for a backup for Salah and Mane, which is difficult to do, but I don't think that's what he'd be looking for. I think, to be honest, I'd rather go and pay double and get his brother.
I think it's genuine. I think they're genuine. I don't know if they bail, I think they'd like him. I think you're right in that he wants to go to Borussia Dortmund because he wants to play every game and he wants to stay in Germany and stuff, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if there was interest, because, you know, why wouldn't Liverpool be looking at, you know, the best younger players of any league, sorry, you know, Bundesliga is a decent league, everyone seems to, it's the in vogue place, isn't it? I would be surprised if they went looking at him, whether they bid for him, I don't know, but I think that it makes sense, this type of player Liverpool want, and that he's versatile. I think your issue is the one, would he be happy not to be, you know, the main man? There's a reason he left Chelsea, because he wasn't playing, so then why would come back to Liverpool and not play?
There's some other stuff in the press this morning, was that apparently Dortmund want him and have bid for him, but we've bid more, so So he favours staying in the Bundesliga and wants to go to Borussia Dortmund, but obviously the club would rather he came to England because we've offered more money.
Right.
So whether there's any truth in that or not, but it was on BBC Sport this morning.
I mean, John, you watch a lot of German football. Is he a player that's caught your eye?
He's good. I mean, obviously he's not his brother, and you know, for obvious reasons, but he's got everything, if you know what I mean, in terms of what you'd want in a modern midfielder. You know, I'd say he's comfortable out wide. He's good in the middle as well. I wouldn't really say he's not really a central midfielder. You know, you're going to see him more out wide, I think, but he could definitely do a job for us. I agree with Ross and Steve there. I think my main concern with him is where he fits into the squad. And I think if you're bringing someone like him in now, having done the business we've done last summer, if yours is in Shaqiri, what does that say to you? You know what I mean? And maybe do you risk upsetting the kind of the harmony thing there? And I think the figure attached to it as well is, not that he's not worth that, but I just think to spend that on a squad player, I mean, if it fills a gap and it allows us to rotate more, than fair enough. But maybe 40 million is a bit steep for him, I think.
I don't know. I think it's a fair price for someone who's done as well as he's done. You know, he's done well. I'll come back, and he's a good player. And 40 million kind of is squad player money. That's what you get. I mean, it's, again, for us to bring anyone into this team, unless you get the absolute bargain of Shaqiri, who had a weird clause, or you get someone for nothing. 40 million is kind of what you have to spend to bring even, you know, he's a Belgian international. He's not like, you're not signing some jobber. You know, you're signing a lad in his prime from a team who don't want to sell him to a team in England, you know, a team who's got loads and loads of money. So I think the price is fair, and I think he's a good player. I wouldn't be surprised.
40 million still seems to me like fucking hell. I mean, we spent 50 on Fabinho and 50 on Keita, give or take. And that seems really close to me. I don't know, 40 million. And you're probably right. You're closer to this stuff on a daily basis, Steve, with what you do. For 40 million sounds like you're making more than an investment in a squad player.
Yeah, but then, so if you don't spend 40 million, then you get Shaqiri.
I think this backs your point up, Steve. What did Mahrez go for?
50, 60.
Fucking hell. That's what we're competing with, I suppose, isn't it?
You know, Fred goes to Man United, doesn't play every week, and he moves similar. You know, Fabinho and Keita don't play every week. They're squad players at the minute. They're hoping not to be. But when we bought those two, they weren't. They're squad players. That's what squad players cost. And I think because we got Sadio Mane for 30 million quid and we got Mo Salah for four, for that price, I think we're almost at a point now where you've got to do pre-Neymar and post-Neymar transfers.
Yeah, you're right.
Pre-TV Dale and post-TV Dale. You know, we sold Coutinho for £140 million. And he's not £140 million of a player for Barcelona. They're not getting the back from him now, as you know, at time of call. And hopefully, you know, he goes on to do well for them, except, you know, in the Champions League against those if we play him. But I think sometimes you just see a number and you think, Christ, that's a lot. But this year's 40 million is 5 years ago's
20. Well, 15, to Adam Lallana, something like that.
Wasn't the FIFA Timo Werner about the same as that as well? And he's a bit more versatile player, isn't he?
And he would be a squad player.
Exactly. So he's a squad player, more versatile, but then he's wanted by Bayern Munich as well. So maybe you're right.
I think he's worth 40 million. But I think again, the two things you factor into it: are we buying a squad player, or are we buying someone who's going to be pushing for the first team?
I think if he come, I wouldn't be surprised if Shaqiri left. If someone like him come. And you said to Kyrgios, we got you for 12 million, you've done a job, you're not playing much now, thanks for that. You know, take your two medals, hopefully, and go on and move. I wouldn't be surprised, because he doesn't fancy Shaqiri for whatever reason, does he? Yeah. You know, poor lad stands on his board to come on the whistle goes. But I think we would all agree that the drop off between the top players and from three and the backup options is too big a gap even now. And I think
we don't need backups, we need starters.
Yeah.
That are willing to sit on the bench for 15 games a season. That's what it comes down to for us nowadays, isn't it?
I'll ask you a question. Do you think if Klopp could, he would like to rotate Salah and Mane just a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, but he needs to spend 80 million on a player that's of their calibre to do that.
Exactly. And if you can spend 40 on a lad who gives you 80%, that you can use at home to Huddersfield, or you can use at home to Cardiff, or you can use when you play Fulham, you know what I mean? That kind of type of game. Because at the minute, he doesn't want. The only time he's took Salah and Mane out is an injury or whatever, and you know, we've seen.
That's it. You want Liverpool to have the best players. Now we haven't competed in four competitions to the business end of those competitions for long enough to prove to players that you can get games here. Yeah. Because right now we're still in that transition period, aren't we? Where we've got a great 15, 16, 17, but we're not giving the other lads an opportunity to shine. And until we start going far in the FA Cup and the League Cup, we're not going to have 60 games a season to play, and a player might come for 40, and you probably will get three or four players playing 40 games a season across that front three, but you need a £80-100 million player to slot in there to take them out and then to challenge in those competitions. Yeah. It's a vicious circle at the moment that we're sort of trapped in, and we need to change.
Also, if you're selling Clarke for £50 million, a lot of 40s then 25 and it's not our money. And there's going to be more outgoings as well.
We cast envious eyes at Man City, don't we? There's a reason why Man City got the two cup finals, then another quarter final, and then the Premier League race.
FFP.
I spend about that. But no, because they saw Riyad Mahrez and thought, you know what, sound. £50 million, the going rate or whatever it was.
And they would have done Sanchez.
We'll pay it. And we'll pay the. He's their club record buy. And we'll just buy him because it's fine. Even though we've got Sané and we've got Sterling and we've got Bernardo and we've got David and we've got KD, you know, De Bruyne, who can play out there as well. We need him and Mahrez hardly featured, and I think Mahrez is brilliant, by the way, and that's who we're competing with now. You know, Man United, look at their options, and you look at Rashford and Martial, and they're happy to go and give Sanchez X amount of money. Now, it hasn't worked, but that didn't stop that it wasn't like, well, we're fine, we've got three great players. No, actually, we'll go and get a fourth, we'll go and get a fifth, because
That's what
big teams do.
I actually think the interesting thing with him is not does he improve us. I think it's where he fits in the team, because I think, you know, if you're looking at the midfield, like with Shaqiri, but then you've also got Chamberlain coming back. Does him coming in mean it's the beginning of the end for someone like Milner, say, who's getting towards the end of his career, or what happens around that? Similarly, if he's coming in to be a backup to the forwards, well, he's apparently promised, you know, minutes to Rian Brewster. Is it kind of a backup for that? Is it kind of like, okay, there's them three, then there's you, and there's Rian Brewster's going to do
all I'd say on that.
Games.
We need to see whether Brewster is good enough, and the only way we're going to find that out is by game time. So I think that will impact Klopp's decision in the summer. It is supposed to be news and brief, so we will move on then. Camacho wants to leave by the looks of things, by the fact that he's rejected a new contract anyway. I'm not surprised. If I'm perfectly honest, lads, I think, you know, Rafa Camacho isn't a right back. I don't think he wants to play right back. I think he wants to play further forward, and he wants opportunities in the first team.
You got European teams, you want to buy him?
Yeah, and Wolves, because of the obvious links to Portuguese players. I mean, this is one that I think, if you've been watching the signs coming out of the club, it's pretty obvious. Another one is Liverpool will be offering Origi a new contract. I'm buzzing with this one. I know we spoke about this yesterday, didn't we? So I'll go to you first on this, John. He's a guy who's stepped up the last few weeks and probably deserves a new contract, and isn't going to cost us the world.
No, I think he's a really good player, and I think he offers that front line something different compared to the other lads who are there. Like you say, he's already settled, he's already at the club, he knows how it works. He seems happy to be on the bench in terms of coming in and doing a bit of a job. Whether that's he's actually happy, you know, I'm sure he'd want to start. But I think you know, you say why Salah, lad who's having a big, you know, who's stepped up in big moments this season for us and actually helped us get over the line in certain games when he's already here at the club, and you know, what are we going to do if we sell him? You know, we're not going to go out and find, we have to find someone else. We're not going to find anyone better, I think, to fill that role in the squad. So I think it's a smart move from the club.
Yeah, I think, you know, the money that Liverpool are likely to pay Steve is good for him and is good for us, and the fact that there's no transfer fee and he's still improving and Klopp's happy with him in training. Good move all round.
Yeah, he's younger than you think, isn't he, as well? He's only just turned 24. Again, I'll be honest, if they sold him, I wouldn't be devastated. I mean, it's one of those where it makes sense to keep him just because we're already losing one forward and Sturridge, so replacing him, and then you've got to go and find another. It's just more ways. There's only so much business you can do in one window. And like what Origi offers is he's nowhere near as good as what we've got out wide, but we don't have to change how we play when he plays because he still offers that pace and he still offers that direct ability, you know. When if Alalana has to go out there or Shaqiri goes out there, Liverpool fundamentally change what Liverpool are about, and Origi isn't. So I'd offer him it. I wouldn't be surprised if he says no.
No,
I wouldn't be surprised if he says, you know what, I could go and play for. There's a load of teams.
The thing with Origi is he's tried a few of these teams and it's not worked out for him, and Liverpool are the ones who've given him that opportunity to get back in a top club, and I think he'd probably be quite happy. I think he would be anyway. But Ross, there's another sort of angle to this story, isn't there, mate? And that is Liverpool have been very good at protecting value of players over the last few years. And could Liverpool be doing that again with Divock?
Yeah, we mentioned it yesterday. You know, we did it with Coutinho and stuff, and I said, you know, contracts don't necessarily mean anything anymore because, you know, we've seen how smart Mike Edwards and his team are with business. Will you put another 5 years in a week's contract? Will you put his transfer fee up then? So if he wants to leave, or they might have said to him, like, we'll let you leave in the summer, but sign a contract for us, we'll get more money out of you. Because that's what they did with Coutinho. It's like, fine, you're protecting yourselves, you're protecting him. He still gets his move that he wants, and we get more money to inevitably send him to Bournemouth.
Final one. Ruben Neves has been linked. And this is one that's kind of come out from some quotes from Pep Linders. He was asked about him when he was speaking to Portuguese Ojogo. I don't know if that's how you say it. It sounds like a Dothraki soldier. I know him very well. His ambition, his passion for the game, his professionalism. I know what he gives to the team, and this type of player always interests us. Now, on the surface, that's Liverpool have been linked with him and Pep Linders likes him. But when you actually delve a little bit deeper into this one, Sting, the reason they're asking him is because he worked with him at Porto in 13-14. Yeah. Yeah. So obviously he knows who he is, obviously he likes him as a player, and he was just giving him a compliment. But do you think there's more than that?
Again, why wouldn't Liverpool be interested in a good player? Liverpool will scout and know all about it. There'll be hundreds of players who Liverpool have watched, know about, and have got a list to go through, you know what I mean? And that's kind of where we are. He's a really good player, and he's got lots of room to develop, so maybe not. I don't know. I'd be surprised if Wolves told him.
Anyone want Neves?
Yeah, that's Lindy's on the tap up. That's a little invite to Blackpool. Come on.
What's that?
Yeah.
Cock at the table.
All right. Okay.
Pat Lindy's and his big dick.
I don't know where to look.
I have to ask.
Great audio.
The audio listeners probably needed that.
Sometimes when you ask a question, you just don't. You want to be prepared.
You
with
knew
the answer.
What the answer was.
I, to an extent, I thought it was that. I clarified and rather.
If I'd have done this, Steve, would you have known what that was?
Take off a personal experience. Moving on.
Brilliant, let's get into it then. If you want more Reds news, then we do have, obviously, Steve normally hosts the show, it's the Reds News Roundup. It's on the redbentv.com. It's there every single week. We talk about every transfer and all the news around the Puff Football Club. It's a fantastic show. It's £5 a month, free for the first month. Now's a belter time to subscribe. Absolutely belter, because you're probably going to get the running off your free subscription. We will head straight to our sponsors, Tokyo Time, actually, and we're doing this incredible competition. Tokyo Time have been supporting us now for this will be our third month they've been supporting us for, so we're really, really thankful for their support. What we've done is we've actually teamed up, lads. You can see this. Can you see Steve's cap here?
Wearing that one?
Yeah. Steve's cap. This is a one-off. This was a test of a patch that goes on one of these Tokyo Time caps. What we've actually done, Ross, is we've actually Tokyo Time have created 5 designs for us. I'm going to show the designs now on the screen for everybody. You can see the first one. This is a baseball cap, as you can tell by looking at the picture. It's a baseball cap. This one's in Shankly red. You can see the Tokyo Time stuff all around here. It's absolutely beautiful. You've got a little Tokyo Time embroidery there, embroidered badge on the front. We've got a red gold one as well on your screens right now. That's embroidered. It's so good. So fit, that, isn't it? Like that. Absolutely gorgeous. That's one of the ones that you can get involved on. We've got a straight Liverpool red embroidered Red Men TV logo. And I tell you what, the detail, you might actually take your cap off and have a look at this, Steve, and let us know. But the detail on that patch, that's embroidery.
Yeah, nice.
That is incredible embroidery there. For the quality,
anyone who's got
caps,
no hair as well, keep your head warm.
True that. Then we've got the special patch one, but we're going to do it hopefully in Shankly red. And finally, we've got a purple and white cap, which is embroidery. We don't have that. This is what it comes down to. What is this competition about?
So go over to Redmen TV on Instagram, and there's a competition on there. So you can win the cap, not one cap, you can win two.
Oh, I didn't know that. To, yeah. Genuinely.
All right. pissing your money down the drain there. So those 5 choices of the caps are on there. So just go on to ours, follow Tokyo Times, follow us, tell us your favourite and tag a mate, and you can win a cap for you and your mate. So.
And that's Instagram.
That's on Instagram.
Brilliant.
So. And if you haven't got friends, you can't enter.
Can I tag you, Ross?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm on Instagram, tag me. That's the O. And I could do that again. Follically challenged.
We've had loads of entries already. So
have we? Yeah.
Get them in. And it stops on Tuesday. So
what? So what happens? They pick the design that we're going to produce.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Go, sounds like a great idea. Who came up with that?
You.
Oh, brilliant.
Can I influence?
How long ago was that?
Can I influence votes?
Yeah.
I'm into the gold one, the purple one.
I love the gold one.
So, yeah.
The gold one's absolutely splendid. So yeah, listen, seriously though, Tokyo Time have been so supportive of us. Go and check their website out. They do so many cool things. It's bit.ly/TokyoTime_RedmenTV. If you want to buy one of their normal Tokyo Time caps, which are incredible, then you can get 20% off by adding the code capitals REDMEN20. It's fantastic. Go over there now, check out the caps. They're absolutely brilliant. They've actually just signed a deal with the British Basketball League. They're producing all the caps for all the teams, which is incredible. Wow. And they're a company from the northwest of England. Paul, the leader, the chairperson, the CEO, is fucking boss. And he's
I thought they were Japanese. They're
brilliant. They're genuinely brilliant. Like, I absolutely love them. So good, do it, go over and show them some support. So the big topic, we are quite a bit in before we get to topic number one. Porto 2-0. What a game. Who wants to jump in on this one? And let's not me lead the conversation here. Let's just fucking jump in and talk proper conversational shit.
Who's going with me?
I'll go. I thought it was sensational. Obviously, the first time I've actually got to Anfield this season, and it was an absolute pleasure. Yeah.
Fucking hell, man, we've been working you hard. Yeah. So sorry, you know, man.
Articles don't write themselves, do they?
No, they don't.
No.
And we certainly don't do them.
No. there was long periods in that game where it was just a joy to watch. And, like, you know, you watch them on telly and stuff, and when you get there, it's different. I said before on the Man of the Match podcast, there was periods where we kind of dipped off, but then the crowd got behind us, and then they stepped up a gear. You know, it was like 78 minutes. They were shattered, but then we geared them up again. I thought it was superb. You know, you're looking at the midfield three. I thought they'd run the show. We all wanted Naby Keita to start that game again, to build up his confidence. And again, on the Man of the Match, we got people coming into form or showing different roles, like Jordan Henderson at the business end of the season, where we need them to step up and perform, and that's exactly what they're doing.
I put on Twitter, if you'd have offered both teams to the last 60 minutes, they'd have shook hands and walked off.
Yeah.
I think Porto were happy not to get absolutely hammered, and I think Liverpool were saving legs. Ross said we looked tired. I don't think we were tired at all. I think we just kind of eased it off and saved ourselves a little bit. You know, I thought we were holding a little bit back. I think, you know, he took Mane, Firmino off. He's
one eye on Chelsea, isn't he?
And that's exactly what it is.
He's managing the fucking squad in a European quarterfinal.
And I was about to say, when you look back at previous European quarterfinals, so I think 2005 Juventus, we've had Arsenal, haven't we, in the European Cup quarterfinal, we've had Chelsea, we've had obviously Man City, which was one of the most nerve-wracking, you know, games of our lives. And yes, there was a little bit routine and a little bit blasé, and I think that just shows how good we are, in that we were saving the squad after half an hour. And I think it was genius to do it, to be honest. I think we could have, if we really needed to, I think we could have upped it. But
yeah, who do you think has been our most consistent midfielder
in terms of all season?
All season.
Martin Alden, and he's been playing.
Yeah, exactly. So now, as I've seen before, like, Keita's coming in there. Not only is he shown what he can do, he's given us the option to rest G in the quarterfinal of Champions League and save him for Chelsea, which, like, last season was midfield three. Or the team paid itself.
Joe Matip gets a rest. The manager says he's played too many games.
He had a knock. Yeah. I think he had a knock.
He said he's played a bit too many games. We want, you know, he's not.
But then Lovren came in, and Lovren did a job as well. That's what I'm saying. We never had this last season. Midfield three was the same three up to the Champions League final because we had no one else.
We had a rotated team, didn't we? Yeah. I thought we started well. I thought when they went 2-0, I think Liverpool got a little bit, I don't know if cocky is the right word. I thought they were trying a bit too, you know, flicks on the halfway line, or like when we should have been clearing on the edge of the box and we were trying to do turns, and they got in a few times.
Do you think we thought it was a bit easy at that point?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think they just got a little bit, you know, we beat these 5-0 last year, it's 2-0 already, here we go again, party time, and it kind of wasn't. And they did offer a little bit of a threat, they had a few really good chances. They'll be arguing a few key decisions that they think went against them as well. I think we'll say the same. I just thought it was almost like a home win against the Premier League team on a Saturday at 3 o'clock, when it's just kind of routine. And for that to be a European Cup quarter-final against a league champion, a perennial team of a knockout stages, I think it just shows how good Liverpool are.
I agree with that completely. And I love the fact that Liverpool forced Porto to play with such a high line. And I'm looking at it going, this is fucking insane. Why are they playing a high line? And then I realised, I was like, because they know we're scoring in Portugal. And they have to get an away goal. Yeah. And that's the only reason. And you're like, oh wow, we've come a long way. We've come a long way, such that a team isn't going to sit back because they know we're going to score. They know we're going to score at their ground. They're going to play a fucking high line against this Liverpool side with Mo Salah up top, Sadio Mane and Roberto Firmino, because they know that we're going to score goals and they need an away goal. My word, this fucking team, man, they're incredible.
No, I thought I thought it was an interesting game because I thought not just that we set up differently, but we seem to have a different impetus. I think a lot of the times this season, and to our credit, we've been quite defensive and solid, which is good. It's a more mature way for us to play. But last the Porto game to me felt a lot more kind of like last season, kind of going a bit hell for leather, but in a good way, in a way that, you know, just probably just slightly disagree with Steve. They felt like we were in control of the game, you know what I mean? Like at the point where Porto did swap after half time and kind of tried to play a more contained game, we were like, okay, fine, we'll just keep it at arm's length and just knock the ball around. And I think that can only be a good thing. And, you know, obviously we touched on it on the final word, but kind of, you know, this kind of like new role for Henderson, moving him further forward, I think it potentially could offer us so much. You know, I feel like I'm using the Rodgersism by saying we flipped the triangle in midfield, but playing with two lads further forward in midfield and one sitting, as opposed to, you know, in practice we nearly always have two lads there and one lad a bit further forward. And I just think it gives us so many more options, and you know, you're on that cusp of it almost being like a front five rather than a front four. And, you know, to be this far into the season, and, you know, the manager A's got the balls to do that and still be tweaking the system to suit the games, but also to have the legs and the people in the squad who can fill those roles, I think is brilliant.
I haven't seen anyone say this yet, but Henderson playing that eight like a fucking new signing. And I'll stand by that, because it's just not something that we've seen for the last year and a half.
It's the runs from deep. You know, but that's what you were saying there. I think Lallana against Burnley was the first time we saw it, and everyone's saying that the creative midfielder or the runs that Chegemi makes. We haven't really done that because we've been defensive against, you know, Leicester, West Ham, United, Everton. Whereas, you know, from Henderson from Southampton when he came on and last night, you know, he's making an extra run, which is giving the defenders an extra person to worry about. Or, you know, he's creating space for Mo Salah to run into. Or at times there was Mo, Hendo and Trent up on one side. If you're a defender and you're thinking, okay, I'll look at Mo Salah, but then Trent's going past you one end and then you got Henderson on the other, like, how are you supposed to defend that? Because you're not expecting it. We're making more gambles, we're making the extra runs from deep. And if it's not Henderson doing it, then you've got Katie doing it on the other side. And it's having that gamble. I think we wanted to do it anyway because it's the first leg, we're at home. Kind of put the tie to bed. I think we kind of had to do that, and we're in positions that where we have to win games to keep up with City in the title.
I think for him as well, for Henderson, I think it lets him feel like he's having more of an influence on the game. I think for someone who's clearly, you know, not the most creative or the most flashy player in the world, but clearly like understands football, understands what he's meant to do in like the passes and stuff. And I, you know, you've said, I think, and you've touched on it a lot in kind of statues and stuff, that he understands the pitch. You know, he understands where to play the ball, like where everyone is around him. To move him further forward and have him to be able to, you know, that much closer to the front line, be able to influence things with passes and stuff, I think for him must be great. And, you know, again, you said he was playing like a man possessed, you know what I mean, and he looked that way. I think that goal at Southampton has done him a world of good in terms of not just giving him confidence, but also kind of freeing him to go, actually, I can play this. You know, I might be 4 or 5 years older, you know, on from 13, 14, but I can still do this role where I can get, you know, between the boxes.
Steve, Jordan Henderson's been playing this role now under Jürgen Klopp for a year and a half, 2 years, say that number six. And in that time, he's been the captain of Liverpool Football Club, but he's probably seen the moans and groans from supporters. Has he been given an opportunity to show and remind everybody why he was made captain of Liverpool Football Club in the first fucking place?
Yeah, I think I've never questioned his character or him as a captain. I don't think, you know, I've questioned his performance and whether he deserves a place in the team. I think that's warranted. I think, again, Jürgen Klopp said, didn't he, apologised about saying, you know, I had to play him as a six, didn't really have anything else, and that's so he was the man. I couldn't get anyone in, I couldn't find anyone to buy, kind of thing, and he was here, so we converted him, and it wasn't his position, but he did well. He did fine. What it does, he's a naturally aggressive player. You know, he doesn't come across that when you look at him, or, you know, how he acts and stuff, because he is a very calm, mild man. He's an aggressive fella, and it allows him to press, and it allows him to make those runs, and it allows him to hurry and harry, you know, up the pitch. But it also allows him to, those 5 yard forward passes are much more dangerous when you're favourite. I mean, the pass to Trent. And Trent's in the box where normally he's playing that pass to Trent, and he's throwing Trent out, you know, 10 yards wide. He's just getting it allows him to use his attributes more. I agree. I thought he was really good. Actually, I thought he was great. He's probably our best player on the night.
What about Naby Keita? I mean, there's a guy that I think we want to see in getting a good run in the team, but, you know, he comes in there, and I slept on him a little bit. I think I called it completely wrong after the game. You know, I thought defensively he was weak. I watched the video of his compilations today, and I'm like, fucking hell, how did I not see all of this? I think it might have just been that I was in the corner of the Lower Annie, and he's dead small. and you just don't see him as much, you know what I mean? And that's the only thing I can think of. But I was wrong. He was well better than I thought he was last night coming out the game.
Tenacity was his best feature for me yesterday, and I was like, I bought him player ratings. He was like a fly around shit. As soon as we lost that ball, he was on it, wasn't he? He was like, again, with Henson in the press. You know, put about 4 or 5 seconds on the ball, and we were in and snapping at them, going, getting the ball back. He was showing that element of his game, the forward run that he makes towards the end of the game on the 90th minute, just going, there was three players in front of me, and it's like, just went full matrix and went, I'm going to go that way and go past them. All the research that we did beforehand, and I think people are frustrated because we waited a year for him. Therefore, we expected him just to fit straight into the team and adapt to what we wanted, but he's taken a bit longer than all, which is frustrating. But now, again, like I said before, we're coming to the business end of the season and he's shown glimpses. I think it's a confidence thing as well. That goal at Southampton was massive for him, and again, to start him yesterday and then to get another goal and have the performance, get the crowd behind, the crowd singing his name, he's only going to spur him on for the last 5, 6, 7 games.
Absolutely, man. And listen, John, this is such a big opportunity for us to make another Champions League semi-final.
It is, and you know, we can't underestimate them going to their place for the second leg, but at the same time, you've got to feel as if we're going to go there and get a goal, to be honest. And you know, it's obviously probably the draw everyone wanted in terms of the teams we could have played, but it's still going to be a difficult game for us, and you've just got to keep focused on what we need to do. I think it's they've got some players who could do us damage. You know, I was impressed with them. I'm going to say it's not Milito, but the lad there at the back who signed for Madrid.
Yeah, Militao.
I thought he was quite good, and Marega, you know, can give you some problems, even though he seems obsessed with shooting at the goalie. but
he's a big fan of it, actually, wasn't he?
He loves it. But you know what the funny thing is? Paul never said it on any of the stuff, but we were coming away from the game, and he goes, I watched a load of compilations, and all he does is hit at the fucking keeper. He said, I wasn't saying it on anything because I didn't want to fucking it to happen. Like, but that's all he did. He hit the ball at the keeper like 3 times and skied one over the bar when he probably should have scored.
I think we all scored, and I know not hardly a revolutionary thing saying that, but I think they were happy with 2-0 because they think that they can beat us 2-0 in their place and go for it. I just don't think they can. I think we've shown enough that we can hurt them, that we can counter-attack them. And I mean, as good as they are, they've got some decent attacking players. And again, you've been there. Even when we batter them, it's a quite intimidating atmosphere. It can be. I think we'll score, and I just don't see them scoring 4. Again, I'm going to sound really blasé about the European quarter-final, is that we could have put it to bed. When it's 2-0 after, what was it, 2-0 after 20, 30, whatever it was, it could have been 5 and 6, and we could have went there and played the reserves. But
isn't that a nice position to be in, though, when you're coming away from a quarter final first leg and your only qualm is score 3 goals?
Absolutely, mate. And like, listen, I imagine if the fixtures were the way around and we had Huddersfield at the weekend or we had Cardiff, we might have thought, you know what, it's worth spending, you know, emptying the tank now and getting this done, because then after Porto, say you had a big game. But it's actually, we've got Chelsea, and it's probably the hardest game up until the last game of the season in terms of league games. So I think we managed it really well. You know, our best left back didn't kick the ball. Our most consistent midfielder didn't have to do anything. Mane comes off, who never comes off. He got a little 20-minute rest, I thought. You know, even James Milner plays at half pace, I thought, at left back. He wasn't constantly going like he would do. It was almost like Liverpool had a little way with himself to say, you know what, we can do this. Keep the north against us, and we'll be fine. And I kind of feel that's what they did. It was
Perfectly summed up, Steve. Listen, we're going to. I recorded a show with Mel Reddy from Joe. Absolutely fantastic.
I love Mel. She's my favourite.
She's unbelievable. She's so interesting to talk to. She's got some incredible views and opinions. Here's a little clip from that show. For me, and I've said this a few times this week on various different shows and stuff, it's not just about Liverpool anymore either. I think back to that Bournemouth game where they beat us from a losing position. I think back to games where we've been ahead, I think back to 13-14, even before Jurgen Klopp, where, you know, we've been goals up and Cardiff come back and stuff like that. But there was a thing in the opposition's mind where Liverpool can crumble here. Now we've somehow managed to completely flip that on its head. So we're going, and a team's going in the last 10 minutes against Liverpool, and they're not thinking we can get something out of this game. They're thinking, shit, we better be careful. They've scored the most late goals in the league with 20 this season. We need to be careful. And Liverpool keep making a habit of that. And they've just flipped that entire... That was a 15, 20-year psyche of something that Liverpool did. And it's gone. It's completely gone.
Yeah. Jurgen Klopp called it that self-fulfilling prophecy, that, you know, Liverpool were a little bit brittle and they just expect to concede and expect you know, that frantic final minutes where the opposition are clawing into their lead and suddenly it's a draw or a defeat. Or and it's interesting, working with other clubs allows me to come out of the bubble, because I think often when you do just Liverpool, you're only focused and everything is driven by a Liverpool voice or a Liverpool perception. And when you go out of that and you speak to, you know, other backroom teams, other managers, players, and when you look at how they view Liverpool, it's extraordinary, because, you know, what you say, they don't know how to beat Liverpool anymore. There's no soft centre. You can't try and bully the defence. You can't work harder than the midfield. You can't hope to greatly restrict the attack. You know, the park bus doesn't particularly work. Liverpool have found differing ways of overcoming that. And I think back to the start of the season, and teams would, because there was Virgil van Dijk, look to bully Joe Gomez, and they were getting no joy. And so they stopped trying to do that. And then they tried to isolate Trent Alexander-Arnold as a weakness, no joy. So every kind of tactic so far hasn't really, you know, proved fruitful. Mm-hmm. And I would say where Liverpool have dropped points, it's been more because of themselves rather than something great that the opposition has done.
Okay, so there you go. Do over and check that one out. It's on theredmentv.com. Before we get into a little bit of Chelsea build-up, you've got to vote for us in the FBAs. This is another one where I'm going to have to pass the torch to Ross, because I'm not sure how to do it. Ross, how do they do that?
It's easy, mate. Go over to RedmenTV on Twitter. Our pinned post will take you to the website and it'll tell you how to vote for us. But we're at three nominations, yeah. Got three in total. So first one is best overall content creator, Redmen TV.
Ooh.
Best women's football content creator, Redmen TV Women's Podcast.
Go ahead. Are we doing that now?
Yeah, I'm best. Yeah, that's been a thing, Chris. Best influencer.
Who's that?
Paul.
What for?
Best influencer.
For what?
Influencing.
How to look up at yourself and brush your hair.
Oh, he brushes his hair all the fucking time.
That's the influencer move.
Ah, right, okay.
Has so, Paul ever influenced you?
I mean, yeah.
Good influence.
Sometimes.
Not so much.
Loads.
If it was bad influence, would you be up for this award?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I've been out with you.
I'm a danger to go on a night out with, I'll say that.
Just have a danger.
Well, I threw big time into that one, didn't I? What the fuck are you laughing at, Tom? First time he smiled in 6.5 fucking hours. Yeah. I fucking remember that.
Because you said you
fucking. I'll flop you fucking pub.
You had a bad influence.
What?
Just people.
Oh,
we got very drunk in London.
We did.
And I was shouting. Really.
You were shouting at fucking. To be fair, it was right, because you were annoyed that people were stopping at traffic lights.
Yeah, so I'm coming out of Twickenham, they've done this system where they filter you out in big massive like lanes or coming out of the stadium. I went to watch the NFL, by the way, I wasn't going to watch rugby. Let's make that clear straight away. And they had traffic lights for people. So that crowd went that way, and then you went that way, and I was like, I go to Anfield every week, just let us walk. I was desperate for the toilet, and I turned around looking where he is, and I'd lost them. And what he'd done, they have like umpire chairs and tennis along the sides of the road, just, and it's like traffic managers, and Chris had spotted the empty one, and and was just sat in it, and I was like, where's Chris? Like, and he's like, come on, move along, everyone. So trying to move this traffic, like, so yeah, he's a bad influence.
Anyway, please vote for us.
That's all we were doing. Yeah. Shit the bed. Okay, we'll move on then. Let's talk about Chelsea.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
See, mates, I can't believe how many massive games we've had this season, but once again, Ross, it's fucking huge.
Yeah, and not helped by watching Eden Hazard against West Ham. I know West Ham were terrible, but he was unplayable. You're thinking, Jesus Christ, why now? You know, transfer window's coming up, that's why. But he always turns up again. That's happened a few times
in my life, not just with this. It just flops off like that.
Is that because Paul's been nominated and you haven't?
No, gosh.
Anyway.
In the bedroom. What?
Eden Hazard.
We're told now. Talk about your problems.
No, okay.
Move on. Eden Hazard. Move on. Yeah. Don't want to talk about it. Go somewhere else.
I'll tell you this for free. I have no problems.
Chris, move on.
Right, two things. Don't tell me and don't look me right in the eye.
Eden Hazard.
He's still not smiling.
He's on form and he always turns up against Anfield. He's got a point to prove. Trent is brilliant and he's amazing at going forward. There has been times where he's been caught out by world-class players, and I think we have to remember that he's only 20 years old. And I think it's important that we double up on Hazard, whoever he's with, and prove a point that we've got a lot better defensively, but it is a concern. But it also plays into our hands that they're playing Thursday night away at Slavia Prague.
And they can play Monday as well.
Yeah. Monday, Thursday, Sunday. Yeah,
so you know, we played last night, a couple more days rest. We were able to rotate players, well.
And we were the Friday night, weren't we?
And to be fair, they're a fucking mess at the minute as well.
Away from home, their form's terrible. And that West Ham game, he was incredible. It was like he ran the show. He won that game pretty much single-handedly for them. But their away form isn't good. And that's the thing. And then the only issue is, you know, this weekend, it's just drawing parallels to everyone's sort of thinking about 13, 14. You know, we're going... We've got Chelsea and City are going to Palace, and we all remember last time, and we're better than that now, and Chelsea aren't as good as they were then, I think. But I think that's the nagging doubt, isn't it? I think it's finally time that kind of gets put to bed. We haven't really had, we've beat Chelsea obviously plenty of times since then, but we've never done it at this stage of a season. You know, on this kind of thing, it's almost time to, you know, lay that one where it needs to go. He worries me. He terrifies me every time we play him. Mm. And I've been on the show a few times, and I've listed the players. Every time we play Palace, I'm terrified of Zaha. I'm terrified of Hazard. I'm terrified of Jamie fucking Vardy. And Hazard's amazing. He's turned up at Anfield, and he's won them points. You know, he's got them through cup games all by himself almost. So we do have to be careful.
Well, also when we played him in the cup, though, the team that we played was literally a second team when he was on fire.
I just think
Van Dijk wasn't even on the bench.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, our best team beats Chelsea's best team. Yeah. But
that's nine times out of ten. Yeah. But we've got the pressure. They've got the race for the top four as well, John. And, you know, I think this top four, I've been saying it for a couple of weeks now, and as has everybody else, the race for the top four may well decide the title.
It could well do, yeah. And I think it depends. It depends massively on what they think their focus is. As in, do they think the best route for them to get back into Europe is top four, or is it the Europa League? And
it's probably the Europa League. Again, recording before the Auto Prague, the way the draws opened up, if they get through at Prague, then they get Benfica or Frankfurt, who are decent teams, but you know, Chelsea would expect to beat both in a semi-final. And before you know it, they're in Baku against maybe Napoli, or, you know, that's the thing, is how strong they're going to go, and we don't know that at time recording. But I think I'm with Ross. They turn up to Anfield with a point to prove, don't they? And it's up to us to banish it.
I think they do, but at the same time, I think, like I say, I think their focus might be more on the Europa League personally. And I just think, you know, if this is mid February, it's a different thing for them. They can look at it and go, well, actually, we could still, you know, get third here, maybe finish second. a lot of that's gone now. I think, you know, we're down to like the last five or six games of the season, that with the top two have broke away. It's who finishes third, who finishes fourth for them. And you're looking at Spurs suddenly finding form again, new stadium, you know, are they going to box their head off, you know? And then it's between the other three really for fourth, isn't it? So three teams don't go into one. I think he'd fancy himself more for Europa League, sorry, but either way,
he could do win and something. He's never won anything. I think Chris, sorry to go across you there, John, but I think Chelsea feel good fact I came back to Chelsea because they beat Brighton and then they beat West Ham. Did anyone watch the Cardiff game? The atmosphere was absolutely toxic from the away fans.
Oh yeah,
it was horrendous.
They were sorry out chants.
They were booing every, you know, where's Hudson Odoi? Where's they were really, really on his case, and it was an away game.
Are you thinking then that it's brittle?
And I think the last thing they want to do is come to Anfield, and if they go a couple down and they're on his case, that we've seen how, you know, hostile atmosphere against the manager can go against any player. I thought, obviously, the Hodgson thing, we've experienced it. We even experienced it near the end of Rodgers, I thought, especially in away games, because the away support can be a bit more vocal at times or whatever, and it's not as easy to drown out the disconcerned voices rather. So that's the thing. We're not getting a strong men. We're not getting the Mourinho Chelsea that turned up, who were third in the league and, you know, a very strong willed. I don't think we're getting that now. There's a lot of questions about these, and if we impose ourselves on the game, I think they're likely to kind of think Europa League's
out better. They've played three games in a week as well, and we've been able to like rest some of our players and take off quick against Porto. Genie's like the massive one for me, being able to rest him on most consistent midfield and then bring him in for Sunday's a massive for us.
I think Chelsea obviously are a tough opponent because they're Chelsea, but I think we can almost get lost in the kind of thing of talking about them too much rather than talking about us. Like from our side of things, this is, you know, we've obviously got games after this, but this is our last big six challenge in the league. And I think, you know, that's the carrot. If you're the manager saying to them, you know, look, you go out there and beat these and you're better than them, there's a reason, you know, you've been at the top of the table for most of the season. All of a sudden, you know, your games after this, you know, your Huddersfield, your Cardiff, you know what I mean? You can start not knocking off, but you can, you know, it's going to be a different game. It's going to be more manageable. It's going to be less eyes on it almost. And there'll be some because it's still be start of a title race. But I think he doesn't need to motivate the players, I think, for this. I think, you know, they know that they're in a title race, but they also know that this is going to be the last big one. And if we get over this hurdle, all of a sudden it's not just a running, it's like it's game by game then.
I love it. Like, I can't wait for this game. You know, it feels to me like we just need to forget about 13-14, and if we can get through this game with nothing major happening and obviously getting the 3 points, you can almost, as a fan, I can probably just drop that now because it's hurt me for so long.
Game. We need to win this and knock that out, don't we?
And just forget about it. That's in the past. This is a different Liverpool side now who will be fighting for the next 5 years for trophies, and just fuck off Chelsea FC, to be honest with you. Your time's over. You know, changing managers every season's worked incredibly well for you. For a long time, for longer than I thought it was ever possible, to be honest. They're the only side in world football, them and Real Madrid, who've managed to make a success of this. It doesn't work like that for any other football club, and hopefully they find it out now that they can't just keep doing that. And I think with financial fair play, I think they are starting to have a little bit of a struggle on whether Abramovich isn't quite as enamoured with Chelsea Football Club as he once was. Who knows, but hopefully that'll be it. We'll move on to some questions then. Rejhan_S15, do you prefer Hendo in the six or a little higher up on the pitch like an eight? Let's just one person answer this, and let's go with, anyone want to answer it? Anyone at all?
I prefer him as an eight, but I think you haven't got the sample size under this manager to see if it's a long term thing. I want to think it's a long term thing because I think you get more out of Henderson personally, a bit further forward, but the majority of the time under the manager, he's played there and been well, and I think it's just good that he can play in both, to be honest, in both positions and play both of them well.
And you've got Fabinho in there, which you've not had before, which has been able to give him the freedom of really playing in the eight.
Tyler James Fox, double deckers or boost bars, which is better?
Boost for me.
Fuck off.
Double decker.
Okay, fair enough.
Why are you fucking on a boost there?
Alright, just move on, it's fine.
No, I will not drop this shit.
I prefer boosts.
Why?
Well, I just do.
Have you tried a double decker?
Yeah.
And what do you think?
I like boost better.
But do you like a double decker?
They're fine. They're nice.
This is almost the epitome of chocolate. 2,000 years.
All right. I thought it was
the human race have come up with a double decker, and you've just gone, it's fine.
I prefer boost. I like the caramel. I like it all.
That's an acceptable reason. The answer you've given is still wrong.
Okay, sound.
But the reason to like a boost is fine. What is your favourite chocolate bar, Steve?
Bueno. No, hands down, Bueno.
Bueno.
Oh yeah.
I did not think you were going there.
Hands down, Bueno. It's like Not even a contest, bueno.
You're more of a sweet man than a chocolate man, aren't you?
I'm more of an anything man. Yeah, it's, you know, I had a Bueno ice cream before.
Yeah, today.
Oh, taste sensation.
Really?
Yeah, nice.
I've never had one of them. I'm not even sure I've had Buenos, to be honest.
They're nice. I like really like Kinder Eggs, but I feel like I can't go to the shop and buy a Kinder Egg for myself. So, Bueno's like the adult version.
So,
Do you get a toy with them?
No. Not with Bueno's, no. I feel like I can't buy a Kinder Egg, so I'll buy a Bueno.
What Bueno is it, chocolate or white chocolate?
Yeah, I prefer the white one, but I mean, I'm not fussy. Oh,
right. What's your favourite chocolate bar, John?
It changes a lot. I think at the minute it could very well be a Star Bar.
I love a Star Bar, mate. Proper underrated chocolate bar, that one.
Classic Snickers.
Classic Snickers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Always thought you love nuts.
Yeah.
Loves them.
Your dad's.
let's move on. What's your favourite chocolate?
Double decker is up there, and Star Bar's the other one that's up there. But I do love a bit of Bourneville if I'm just wanting plain chocolate. Like.
Tory.
Come on, Phil. Bourneville's belter. I'll take a Galaxy as well. And I don't mind white chocolate. I mean, look at me. My tits are a bit belly, a fat ass. It's obvious that I like fucking eating chocolate bars, and I feel strongly about all of them.
I feel like we could do a chocolate podcast and give like how hot our Twitter game is.
Absolutely. Maybe we should. Right, if you had to listen to one album for the rest of your life, what would it be? So Lee Macha 13. This was easy for me. I'm guessing John's answer. I mean, he's literally exhaling. I'm not sure he's going to think this is an easy question.
What was yours?
Boys and Girls in America by The Whole Study.
Okay, I'll be honest, I don't really care about albums. I'm more of a
now 45.
If I listen to music, it was very much I'm a shuffle / Spotify legend.
Oh, what are you looking at the moment? Disney Hits is up there with mine.
I mean, in my house, in the car, yeah.
It's always on the most.
Disney CDs. Yeah,
or like the Spotify's the soundtrack to the Muppets movies, a popular one in my at the minute, just for the.
You big on
your favorite Disney song?
6 months ago.
Sorry.
Favorite Disney song.
You're welcome.
It's the one, the right one. Yeah.
It's a good song. I don't mind the other Moana one.
How Far I'll Go.
Yeah, that's
what I like. It's the best film as well.
So album wise, I don't give me a compilation of good songs. I'd go for that rather than album thing.
Just one playlist.
Yeah, anything. I'd go with something like mid 2000 indie music, maybe something like that. On Spotify, that's a good little playlist. Then I want to listen to. I'd probably go for that.
Do you know it wasn't a proper album, but MTV Unplugged Nirvana. In New York, could listen to that all day, every day, and that would be the two albums.
I very rarely listen to album, and I get bored of the same people singing me the same songs.
I very rarely listen to playlists. Yeah. I like that, like
we're very different.
But they've created something, and that's, I don't know song names or not normally.
Yeah.
Because I just stick an album on and I'll just listen to the album, and every album that I've got takes me back to a different place or a little time or something like that. So do you remember when? Viola Beach had their accident and they obviously died and stuff. I think just after that, Liverpool were on tour in America, and I went from San Jose to San Francisco on my own, and that's the only album I listened to for hours and hours. Now every time Viola Beach song comes on, I'm just taken back to San Francisco, walking around and that. Like, it's fucking cool. I love it. Like, what's yours then, Ross?
I'm similar to Steak. Like, there's very few albums that I'll listen to through and through, so probably about two or three that I like. The Strokes, is probably my favourite one, because I think that's probably one of the first albums that I actually sat down and listened to properly, and I still do it now. Like, you know, just looking for something to listen to bang on, and I'll come put that on, and I'll know every word to every song.
I ruined their second album. I had this
Room on Fire.
Is that what it was called? Yeah. I don't know. Their second album, I had it in my car, and I had a meeting that for work down in Nottingham somewhere, and I had traffic, and it took me about 3.5 hours to get there, and I got there for like 9 a.m. It was like supposed to be like one of those courses, like fucking 8 hours or something, and I turned up and they're like, oh yeah, we cancelled it. I was like, did you email me? And they're like, no. I was like, oh great. But it was stuck in my fucking CD player, and I had no other music, and the radio didn't work.
It's a bad memory,
and I listened to it for like 6 hours straight. I've never been able to listen to that album ever since. Yeah. Like, John, what's your favourite?
It's probably a toss-up between Sound Effects by The Jam and Abbey Road by The Beatles.
Ooh.
I think Abbey Road, you can throw that on and it's great, and almost cliche to say it being from Liverpool, but that medley on the second side, like, it's so well sequenced, that album. I think obviously Ross and Steve both said about like playlists and that. I think there's a lot to be said for how well sequenced an album is and like where the tracks are.
That's what the Beatles do though, and it's like a one continuous song almost. Yeah.
And it's just you put that on and you end up just leaving it on, I think.
Paul Machin at the Paul Machin has said
social influencer. Yeah. Paul Machin.
Depends, I didn't vote for him. Would you rather? I genuinely dropped the ball for him, by the way, just in case that gets.
I voted for Spencer. That is his name.
Spencer in the influencer category.
I don't know. I've heard of him. I'm not very good at this. YouTube.
He's up against Goldbridge.
Paul.
I'm joking. I haven't really. Oh, good. I'm voting for anyone. Yeah.
Would you rather be eaten alive or buried alive?
Depends who's eating.
Oh,
me.
Hey. It's his dad.
Yeah, dad.
That's it. Like, if it's a lion, I'd rather get eaten because I'd be dead quicker.
That'd be fucking it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but
dead. Christ on a bike. That's the exact reason I wouldn't want to be. Yeah,
if I'm gonna die,
you're gonna die quickly.
I'd rather die quickly. Buried alive means I'm gonna be there for a good hour or two suffocating before I'm dead.
I'm fine with that.
I'd rather suffocate than be bitten.
No, absolutely not. It's the pitch black, terrified. No.
Just die.
But if I'm gonna die, I want it to be quick and pain. Maybe. But if I'm gonna be, if it was little tiny animals, just taking like rats or something. Then I'd eat that. I'd rather just suffocate. But if you can like get me like mauled by a giant animal and I'm dead, and I'm dead in a minute. Just give me that. The thing is, if a lion attacks me and bites me head off, I'm dead.
Yeah, you dead instantly.
That's what I want. I don't want to be.
What about piranhas?
No, see, that'd be awful. Because I'd be away again. It'd take a while for a piranha to do me, and I want a big animal to murder me.
Look.
given these choices, I want to be like the biggest animal.
Someone please clip that off and just put it on Twitter with Steve saying, "I want a big animal to murder me."
That's always
absolutely brilliant. I mean, Benny the Live doesn't sound fun. I'll say that. But eating alive sounds horrendous to me. And when I think eating alive, I'm thinking zombies slowly gnawing at you. And just to the point where I'm still alive and my brain's working. But I look down and there's no meat on my bones. And I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't handle fucking that. Yeah. That would scare the shit out of me.
Is that Resident Evil to come back to bite you?
Pretty much, yeah.
Literally.
I think Paul needs to clarify which type of animal. If it's a big animal or like rats. I'd have no time for it, no nibbles.
But what about a python?
Just no, because I'm getting slow. I just said quickly.
Like animals.
A bear attack or like a killer whale just rips me in shreds. Give me that over being buried under, like, because how long does it take to suffocate? It'd be a couple of hours, wouldn't it, I think, before you're dead.
Is this like guaranteed death as well? I don't think you specify that. Like, if it's like a python, like, can I fight the python? You know what I mean?
Can I punch the small rodent on my arm and stop him from eating me alive?
And can
I get to the surface when I'm buried alive?
Yeah. In the spirit of the question.
I know Paul quite well. We all know Paul quite well.
He wants us to die.
He wants us to die.
Yeah. So I'm going for the quick, easy option. Plus, I get to feed an animal, which is good for the, you know, sake of life and that. I've seen The Lion King.
But
you eat the grass.
And you enter the ecosystem if you're buried alive.
That's a good point, yeah. But again, who have I helped?
Really, the worms?
Your wife?
Yeah, exactly. Worms. Like, yeah, I want to be mauled. But like, I want them to like rip my head off. I don't want to be like you shark attack where I'm dead within seconds, rather than being buried alive.
I quite like this one. Leon Lowen, is there anything to stop a manager registering himself as a player so we can run up and down the pitch on down the length of the pitch barking orders whilst warming up?
No,
I mean, Edgar Davis did it, and he's went on the pitch and got himself sent off.
I remember Gordon Strachan doing this for Coventry once when he was playing manager.
The thing that stops them
is the fact that you want
seven subs.
Yeah, just oh, we've got four injuries. Oh fuck, it's me. that's the issue, isn't it? When you look around, you need a goal, and Klopp goes, "Who can I bring on?" Well, I've got Divock or myself. I think that's the main reason, isn't it? But it's a clever idea.
Andre, I think this is Andre from Berlin Reds, actually, at hashtag Mopple. Your least favourite animal and why? I can give you a starting point to work on this. Pretty much pointless animals. Pointless animals Sloths. To me. Yeah, those type of things. Like, if we lose a goldfish, is it really going to affect the ecosystem? You know what I mean? Like, there's loads of fucking fish in the sea. What are the goldfish actually doing?
Are we talking, like...
giving themselves up a prize, is it fair?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They're just dying plastic bags, as far as I'm aware, on the way home.
I got chased by a dog once.
I mean,
Yeah.
So like maybe that specific dog. Okay. I'm not saying all dogs are bad, but there was actually two dogs, and yeah, they chased me and I had to climb a fence to get.
It's Friday night in town.
No, I was younger. It was when I lived with my parents. And bit long story short, I was actually out for a run. Go back in my younger days, obviously, and. I turned around and I just barking. I thought, what the fuck's that? And these two dogs had escaped and they saw me running and they were just chasing me.
And then you're thinking, I'm going to get you alive. Honestly. I'm going to get you alive. Don't even lie. Not loads of people biting
me. Yeah, you're too little to kill me. I want like a lion. So then I had to climb up a fence and then the owner ran out and was like, I'm sorry. And I think they would have attacked me. So those two dogs are my least favourite animals. I hope they're dead now. They probably will be.
And here's another one, and this is probably going to be quite controversial, but the panda.
Oh.
Not like a red panda or anything like that. You know, the fucking giant panda. All they do is fuck around with bamboo all day. You know what I mean? They're not doing much, are they? I don't think...
They're an endangered species, so... Get it over with.
Yeah, let's just fucking cut the head off that shit. You know what I mean? Let's make it quick. Like Steve wants to die. So the panda's pretty pathetic.
Can I throw an octopus in there? Only because they seem shady as fuck.
They do seem a bit shady, the octopus.
Have you seen that video where like, they're like in a jar and they get out? Yeah, I wouldn't like.
It's very Finding Nemo too.
Yeah,
Finding Dory as it's technically known. the octopus and that's a bit of a blur, isn't he? So yeah. I'm happy to go with octopus.
Yeah, sounds.
Octopus.
Yeah,
you can't think of a better one.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay, last question. James Shearing at Shearing James. When Liverpool win the league, will John Lennon Airport cope with the amount of blue noses at the departures, and should the airlines put all the ticket prices up?
You can't get a plane to Wales, can you?
I think it's a genuine thing. I mean, we know last year when we were in Kiev that, like, I know a lot of blues that just went elsewhere for the night. They're going to be fucking...
There's more danger of them running out of Lonsdale trainers so they can run to fucking the Wirral.
Wow.
I've had a lot of stick of Evertonians in recent weeks.
Why is that to be?
I just don't know. I don't think they're very good at football, and I tell them that, and then they get angry at me.
Opinions, eh?
I mean, yeah, we've all gone. I mean, I was right. So, what they're going to do? They are very much going to hide.
Have you spoke to any Blues and like you know, like most people I've spoke to have like, yeah, I'm going away, and also I bet very heavily on you to win the league. So even if you do, I'm getting a lot of money.
I've spoke to the ones who are just, you know, City fans singing Blue Moon.
the ones I know would not put money on Liverpool.
I think they are worried. I think
they're worried.
They're very, very worried. So where will they all go? Who cares? Like genuinely, who cares? But I will. There's this thing, isn't it? Liverpool fans are going to be unbearable if we win the league. That's kind of the theme that's going around, and I can confirm for an absolute fact that is absolutely right. I am going to be, if we win one of these two trophies, I am going to be absolutely unbearable. Honestly,
you already are. And imagine winning a league and a Champions League.
Oh, Toffee won't know what's hit them. I'm going to turn up Ped's house. Just singing like,
four in the morning.
Can we wait that?
Just outside Bazzers with a Divock
Origi. We'll do it on Instagram stories or something. In fact, we'll bring Snapchat back for a fucking laugh as well.
Yeah, so yeah. I hope they don't go anywhere because I would very much like to be there when I get to put it in their faces.
Absolutely superb. Well, there you go then. That's been the podcast. Let us know what you thought in the comment section below. Of course, don't forget to like the video, subscribe to the Red Men TV on YouTube, don't forget to check out the new channel, Machen Pajak. We'll be doing the normal two-man podcast over there. Won't be for the next few days because Paul's not very well, which is why he's missing today. We'll be back next week, of course. But thanks for listening, thanks for subscribing, and we'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.